Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories. Good morning. Hello. Welcome. Thanks for coming. I'm Jesse. This is Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, the one and only campus community radio station way up at the very top of Burnaby Mountain, where we broadcast from the unceded ancestral territory of the Halkomelem and Squamish-speaking peoples. We've been here since time immemorial, gathering to share stories and music and culture and talk and connect since a time before memory, since a time before any of us living can remember. And so I'm very grateful to be able to be here and share today a whole bunch of different stories and music. It is a real grab bag today. I've got a whole bunch of shorter pieces to share with you, interspersed, of course, with a little bit of music. And it's going to be great. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to jumping all over the place. And we're going to start, as we so often do here on the Thursday Speak Up, with a little bit of local music. And this week it is from a new record by Chalcedony, which came out 2 weeks ago, beginning of January, and features some songs that had been previously released as singles that totally rip. We're going to hear a new album cut from the record Capsule, a 6-song EP. This one is called Dollandia, like Hollandia, but with dolls, I think. We'll find out together here on Speak Up on CJSF. We'll be right back. New music from Chalcedony, that is Dollandia from the new record Capsule, which is out now on Bandcamp. Check that out. Something else you should check out, and I'm going to bring back a story from earlier, well, not earlier this year, from last year, that I produced, is a look at the exhibition Kiliada Christian White, which is currently in its, well, last week at the Bill Reed Gallery. Excuse me. I went to the opening of this exhibit and got to speak with Kiliada Christian White, the Master Haida artist, and see the exhibition and just be in that space, and was very blown away. And I really, really recommend that you take advantage of this last week. The exhibition runs until Sunday, February 1st, which is not this Sunday, but the one after. And if you've got time over the next week and a half, it is so worth your while to go check out the Bill Reed Gallery in general, but in particular this exhibition, Kiliada Christian White, Master Haida Artist. The piece I'm going to play for you has some explanation, some conversation with Kiliada and other people connected to him and his work. So there's always good stuff going on at the Bill Reed Gallery. SFU students get free or discounted admission as well. So go check it out. It's really, really great and definitely worth spending an hour or two in that space, just taking it in, looking at the beautiful works, and reading about the context and the history of everything. So without further ado, let's get into it. A new exhibition at the Bill Reed Gallery of Northwest Coast Art in Vancouver is celebrating the work of a Master Haida artist and his outstanding contributions to his family, his community, and his culture. This is the featured artist, Kiliada Christian White.
Yeah, many of these pieces are inspired from stories that keep us tied to the lands and waters of our Haida Gwaii. And you can see the different techniques I've employed in my sculptures. It also shows the passing on of the knowledge and the culture to the next generation.
The retrospective exhibition, Kiliada Christian White, Master Haida Artist, spans the career of the renowned carver and multidisciplinary artist, ranging from stunningly detailed stone argillite sculptures and silver jewelry to cedar bentwood boxes and ceremonial masks.
It's a great feeling to be here in the Bill Reed Gallery and see all these pieces in the exhibition together. And, you know, it kind of shows the generations and the different decades, really, of my carving career, my art career. And also to kind of educate people that come here to see, I think they could view our community, our Haida community from Haida Gwaii, you know, through a lens here and be able to see, you know, just like our different movements that we've started through the years, you know, the revival of our arts and culture, our ceremonies, our connection with the ancestors. Each one of the parts of the exhibit show that, really. And the value that we place upon our work, you know, that we have created over the years.
The unifying theme running through the entire exhibition is one of family and community, as the exhibit tells the story of Kiliada Christian White's unwavering commitment to uplifting members of his family and community through apprenticeships, the revival and renewal of traditional artistic and cultural practices, and the transformation of his own craft from a commercial endeavor to make ends meet into the center of an artistic community that preserves, shares, and pushes Haida art into the future.
My name is Amelia Ray. I am the assistant curator here at the Bill Reed Gallery and the co-curator of this exhibition. This was really exciting and felt very natural. I grew up really closely with Christian's daughter. She's my best friend. And I grew up as a lead dancer in his dance group and spent a lot of time at his longhouse. So it kind of felt really right that we would put this on for him, and also like a lot of pressure because him and his family have just done so much for our community, so it felt really, it was a lot of pressure to be like, how can we honor him in the magnitude that he deserves. That was so important to us because that's how we know him, and you know, all of the collectors and people who know his work know him as an argillite carver and somebody who's selling in galleries, but to Haida Gwaii, he's the person who does so much for our community and for the preservation of our Haida culture. And so it felt really important that we honor that and reflect that in this exhibition, because he's, you know, you think of Christian White and he's so much more than just Christian White. He's his family and his dedication to our people. And he said something at one of his potlatches in 2022 that he's doing this out of the love for his people. And I think that we tried to reflect that the best way that we could.
While Kiliata Christian White has been sharing his culture with the world by creating and selling sculptures and other art since he was a youth, he eventually realized that through his art, he could build and strengthen his community in Haida Gwaii, preserving and revitalizing his people's traditional culture and heritage.
But midway through my career, I realized that we don't have to sell everything. We could keep what we want. We could keep things for our own use and our own culture. And so I found a way to do it. Something that wasn't really even heard of. We were encouraged, back in the day, we were just encouraged to sell everything, to burn everything, to move on. But in a way, it was our culture that kind of saved us and saved my family. You know, we had nothing left. There was no fishing industry left. Logging was just devastating our islands. And so those weren't directions I wanted to go in. And so I was drawn to the arts. And now I encourage visitors to come to our islands. And what I encourage them to do is to take a picture, to go for a walk, to buy a piece of art, to support a living artist. So that's what I do, and I try to educate them.
This community-centric revitalization, helped by Kiliata Christian White's apprentices, has included a resurgence in the creation of one of the Haida's most iconic works.
You know, right now it's raising as many totem poles as we can on Haida Gwaii. There's a revival of that also. In 2017, I carved a totem pole. I had 8 apprentices, 4 female, 4 male. And then we carved a totem pole. It was standing as a tree December 1st or so. And then by June, it was standing as a totem pole. And I believe every one of those students really learned and gained a lot from that experience, as I did. And then I've seen a pole being raised in Haina, which is another ancient village. Another one was down in Kai'au or whatever, down in Windy Bay. So there's a revival of bringing totem poles back out onto the land and to the ancient village sites again. And so, you know, there was a big gap of 125 years of no totem poles being carved, and now it's been revived. And so there could be even a full-time carving in my community where I could have many apprentices, and I don't even have to do it all too. We have other master carvers, journeymen that can carry it about. And so I think we've started that revival, really.
Beyond creating new works and preserving traditional techniques and methods, Kiliata Christian White's teachings build and strengthen community and provide his apprentices with structure, purpose, and sometimes a lifeline.
Like, I've probably kept a few people out of prison. So, or, you know, from going into that line, you know, of, you know, just getting in trouble. And so I've been able to deter them from that lifestyle. But, you know, of course, it's up to them, too. So it's not a total foolproof, but it gives them an alternative. And, you know, there's some, you know, that have difficulties. You know, they might have a mild disability, or they could have other troubles in their lives. They need alternative type of education. Sometimes the school model is not the only model. You know, sometimes, you know, it's a more holistic type of model that they need, and then they can move back, you know, to the school system. Sometimes they got to get that something out of their system, and they got to feel proud about themselves. And you know, it's worked well for me. And you know, some of them will move off to other specialties, or other activities, other careers, but that's fine. They'll still have those tools, that knowledge behind them, and then that pride in the culture.
Kiliata Christian White's legacy is further cemented by the works of his apprentices, who have taken his traditional teachings and shaped a bold new future for Haida art.
Haida art is going in many directions. We have some artists working in Haida manga. We have artists that are working in filmmaking, graphic design, working in multi-graphic type of materials, you know, children's books, you know, incorporating the Haida language. And you also have a lot of people involved with the textiles, for the most part, I try to focus on the traditional parts first, and then once they're done with me, they could go any direction they want to go. And of course, you know, there's jewelry, there's weaving, you know, so there's many different directions we can go.
Kiliata Christian White, master Haida artist, runs until February 2026 at the Bill Reid Gallery of Northwest Coast Art in Vancouver. For CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, I'm Jesse Wentzloff. This report is made possible by funding from the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative and is available online with other stories from across the country at frequencynews.ca. We'll be right back. New music from Chopping Spree, Koi Fish from the new record Anamoya. They're a post-fusion jazz prog band out of Vancouver. And before that, you heard my piece about the exhibition Kiliata Christian White Master Carver, which wraps up February 1st at the Bill Reid Gallery in downtown Vancouver. Go check it out. It's great. And now this piece from our community journalist, Danny Nesvedarani, about a series of workshops in North Vancouver.
Reporting from North Vancouver, BC, this is Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. North Shore Community Resources is a nonprofit organization based in North Vancouver that provides programs and services aimed towards enhancing community and individual well-being on the North Shore. This encompasses a lot, including support resources for parents, children, and seniors, sharing local volunteer opportunities, and providing legal services, which includes support regarding housing and tenancy. Throughout the month of January, North Shore Community Resources has been hosting a series of workshops on residential tenancy. The goal of these workshops is to educate those in attendance about the rights and responsibilities of tenants, as well as landlords. To learn more about what these workshops entail, we reached out to Zabi Raymond, legal advocate at North Shore Community Resources. We got in touch and sat down for a conversation about these residential tenancy workshops being hosted throughout the North Shore during the month of January.
Sure. So I am a legal advocate here. I graduated law school a couple of years ago, and I've been working here for mostly pretty much ever since. We have a couple other legal advocates, a family law advocate as well, and then another community law advocate who works in the same kind of position that I do. His name's Nicholas Smith. He's also our manager. So basically what we do is, our director basically calls it the necessities of life law, that we basically help people with anything that is kind of like the basic needs that people need. So that includes mainly stuff like tenancy, employment, employment insurance, and a lot of income assistance as well. So basically anything that people need regarding any of those programs, we're able to assist them with it.
Okay. And could you explain these workshops to me? What do they specifically entail?
So these workshops, we have workshops on a variety of topics, but the ones that we have coming up are all just happen to be on tenancy law. So basically the kind of stuff that we cover is it's kind of just like a broad view of tenancy issues that people have come up. There's too much stuff for us to really go like super in depth into every little thing, but it's kind of just like a bird's eye view of everything. So we kind of go over briefly the Residential Tenancy Branch and the Residential Tenancy Act. The Tenancy Act is just the legislation that kind of provides all the rules that will apply for people. And the Residential Tenancy Branch is the section of the government that actually applies those rules and governs them. So we talk about tenancy agreements, how important they are. We talk about the rules around having roommates, things about rent payments, deposits, fees, condition inspections, repairs and maintenance is a big one that comes up. A lot of like questions about like what, you know, a tenant's rights and responsibilities are and what the landlord's rights and responsibilities are in various circumstances. And we also talk about how tenancies end, whether how you, to move out if you want to move out, how a landlord can evict you if they're trying to evict you. And a big part of that also is dispute resolution. So what you can do if your landlord tries to do something you're not happy with, or if you've got a problem with a roommate, a neighbor even, and basically just kind of what your legal options would be for dealing with these circumstances.
So that feels very all-encompassing overall. I guess another thing I was curious about is what spurred your organization to start hosting these. You know, were you witnessing sort of a gap in knowledge surrounding tenancy law that needed to be filled?
Yeah, definitely. We definitely find that a lot of people come to us not really having any clue what their rights are in a certain situation. A lot of the time that's tenants who, you know, their landlord might be taking advantage of them in one way or another, and they don't really know, you know, what grounds they have to stand up for themselves, right? Like what their landlord is allowed to do to them and what's off limits. So we definitely want people to just kind of be aware of what rights they have. We also, part of it too, is that a lot of time people come to us kind of late in the situation. So sometimes it's, a lot of these issues are time sensitive. So it can be difficult in some cases to help people if they're kind of coming to us towards, you know, after a period of time when they actually could have, you know, contacted somebody about it or filed for some kind of dispute. Sometimes it's a little late to actually do something like that, and which just kind of, you know, trying to find the best resolution in a bad situation. So the more aware people can be of their rights to kind of prevent those situations from coming up, I think the better.
Mm-hmm. Another thing I had noticed looking into these tenancy workshops is that it's pretty explicitly stated that these are meant for both renters and landlords as well. Mm-hmm. Why did you feel that was important to stress, and how do you balance, I guess, the needs and the knowledge to give when both groups, I feel like, often mm-hmm. are considered to be like pitted against one another?
Yeah, absolutely. So like our organization, like our the actual direct services that we provide are limited to tenants, but for these workshops, we did think it was important to kind of have it open to everybody. Part of the reason for that is that a lot of landlords themselves don't necessarily know what rights and responsibilities they have. So sometimes, you know, they might violate some rights that a tenant have, or, you know, kind of take advantage in some way without actually meaning to do so, just because they don't actually necessarily know what they're supposed to do for their tenants or what their tenants are supposed to do in return. So generally, I think just the more aware that people are about these things, the more we can get ahead of certain issues and prevent disputes from coming up. And it's part of it is just to kind of let people know that basically any kind of disagreement, any kind of issue you have, there is a system in place to where you can at least try to find an answer for it or try to find some resolution for it. A lot of time people will try to take things into their own hands, and it can, you know, kind of spiral and make situations worse. So generally, I think for these workshops, we're mostly just kind of trying to give out information rather than specific advice to people. And that information we think it really is just helpful to everyone generally.
For any past workshops regarding tenancy that North Shore Community Resources has done, has there mm-hmm. been any sort of information or aspect of tenancy law that has really grabbed people or made people think like, oh, wow, I had no idea that that was something